Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Your Money Matters. I'm Elise Gling, sitting in for John Hansen. I've had such a good time the last couple of weeks. Thank you so much for joining me. If you've got questions about credit cards or mortgage rates, we've got the right person for you to talk to. Ted Rossman has been with Bankrate.com and CreditCards.com for at least a decade, and he joins me now as he comes on frequently to talk about tipping and what's going on with the tipping industry. Hey, Ted, how are you today?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for having me.
So nice to have you back. So I know we could talk about lots of things. Like, I was shocked today when I was on Bankrate looking at the mortgage interest rates for people with credit scores of 700 and saw that it had actually, the average rate had crossed the 6% threshold. It has been a long time since we've seen that.
Yeah, it definitely has. To clarify, the average is 5.36%, but a huge increase. I mean, that's just a couple of percentage points just since the end of last year. And basically what this means is something akin to a 22% drop in home affordability. In other words, rates have gone up so much so fast that it's almost like the house costs 22% more.
Wow, which is really incredible. Well, let's talk tipping for a few minutes, because tipping is just, you know, one of those things. Everybody's getting hit up to tip every single place that they are. I mean, in places that didn't normally have tipping, like, I get it, you go to get your coffee at a coffee shop and you want to tip something, but it's everything these days, right? It's from Uber. I'm surprised when I go to the grocery store, they don't ask if I want to tip the bad guy and the cashier.
There has been a lot of tip creep, and that is something that I think upsets some people. Although I was surprised in our survey, we actually found that when you're presented with these suggested options, maybe it's at a coffee shop or a food truck, you know, you picture they flip that tablet around and there's a few pre-entered options, and you may be thinking, well, huh, I'm not sure I really wanted to tip at all. Actually, 26% of people tip more in that instance, 12% tip less, and then the other roughly 6 in 10 are more or less unchanged. That actually surprised me. I thought we would see more resentment there.
Hmm. That is interesting. And are people tipping, so when you kind of look at it by, I'm sure you looked at it by generation, you probably looked at it at, you know, the difference between going to a window, you know, and getting a takeaway or sitting down at restaurants. What are some of the other things that you found in your survey?
Some of the highlights included that about three quarters always tip at a sit-down restaurant. That feels low to me. I think everybody
yeah.
should be tipping at a sit-down restaurant. Huge generational differences. Only 52% of Gen Zers always tip at a restaurant. 60% of millennials, 77% of Gen X, and 87% of boomers. What's notable, though, is that while young adults, and men for that matter, are tipping less often, when they do tip, they actually leave better tips.
Hmm. That's interesting. I think it's sort of interesting that, you know, at sit-down restaurants, people only 73% tip. Like you, I think that feels a little low. I wonder how much they're tipping, and I wonder if younger people aren't tipping because it's already so expensive that they've kind of gone beyond their budget, so they think they're just going to cut back on the tip, which I don't think is the correct way to handle it. But what did, you know, were you able to go any deeper with that?
We were, yeah. So the average among those who tip at restaurants is 21%. So I think that's right on target, but that's not including all those zeros. The median, again, not including the zeros, is 20%. But too many people are leaving nothing. And you know, it is especially young adults who are really lacking here. Some of the other things we asked about, 66% always tip their hairstylist or barber, 57% always tip for food delivery, 43% always tip a taxi or rideshare driver. I actually feel like all of those should be pretty universal as well. Interestingly, these percentages have almost all gone down a few percentage points during the pandemic. The only category where people are tipping a little bit more often is at the hairstylist.
Yeah, I have to say I do tip my hairstylist well, but then again, I want to have a great haircut, right? So I can understand why people might want to do that. I wonder if people are tipping less because they are, because the prices have gone up. So they figure the percentage can go down. They have in mind a certain number that they want to tip. And so if the, you know, it's like housing prices are a lot higher. If you're paying a 6% commission, it's a whole lot more money this year than last year. So they negotiate it down a bit. Any insights there?
I suspect you're right that inflation is one of the explanations for why people may be tipping less frequently or less generously. Although there's also a school of thought that says if you can't afford to tip generously, you probably shouldn't go to that place. You know, that's what some people think.
Right. Skip the Michelin one star and just go to a regular restaurant, right?
Exactly. You know, I think also, though, we know about the staffing shortages, and a lot of restaurants and other service businesses are understaffed. I have to wonder if they're providing worse service, and that may be reflected in lower tips. Mm. You know, if all else is equal, I would actually think that a waiter or waitress would be a net beneficiary of inflation, because if they're getting a tip as a percentage off of a higher base, that would help them. But then again, it does seem like people are pulling back. And also, if there are fewer people dining out because of inflation, then, you know, that's a key variable there. During the pandemic, a third of people told us they would tip more generously because of all that's happened to the service industry. I don't think that that's really proven to be true, though.
Yeah, no, it's super interesting. Listen, Ted, we have to take a quick break and do a check of traffic. Can you stick around? Because we got a question that came in about raising their credit score and paying off a credit card. And I just feel like you're the right guy to answer that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, sounds good.
All right. Stay tuned. We're going to talk with Ted Rossman of Bankrate.com and creditcards.com in a moment. But first, let's talk to Mary Vandeveld about the traffic. We had a question from 317. I want to raise my credit score. I have one credit card that I missed a few payments on, but I'm slowly paying it off, and I only have $1,700 left. Should I ask for an increase in credit? Should I apply for another credit card? How do I increase my credit score so it's ready next year when I can buy a home? The only debt I have is that credit card, and but I own my own car, but I rent. It's a long question, Ted. Where do you want to start with it?
Yeah, a lot of good points there. So, you know, I would say, first of all, unfortunately, those negative marks from the late payment are going to stick around for up to 7 years. Although the good news is that they're going to be most pronounced in those first 2 years. So, you know, hopefully that's starting to fade away. Definitely filling your report with good information is really important. In terms of the debt that you have, while it's always a good idea to pay it off to avoid interest, from a credit scoring standpoint, really what they're most concerned about is what you owe relative to your credit limit. So that's called your credit utilization ratio. So in that sense, you know, obviously you're going to try to pay this down. You could also pull on the other side of this lever, which is requesting a higher credit limit, or maybe signing up for another credit card that you'll hopefully keep usage very low on. In fact, a 0% balance transfer card could accomplish both objectives. It could help you pay down that debt with the tailwind of a 0% interest rate for up to 21 months, and it could give you more available credit that helps your score.
Yeah, what I love about that, of course, is, you know, if you transfer that balance, you're probably paying, what, you know, 10, 15% interest on the card now. You'll kick out that interest with a 0% or maybe a very low balance transfer offer, and then you'll have that savings. You can plow that into paying off that debt as well. But the fact that you're making your minimum payments every single month now and more than your minimums, that's really what starts to help get that, you know, late payment in the rearview mirror. Right, Ted?
That's right. Yeah, those fundamentals are pay your bills on time, keep your debts low. Now, this won't help you so much with the mortgage, but for other financial products, you could consider an alternative credit scoring system like Experian Boost that is going to look at your payment history on things like cell phones and streaming plans. That can increase your score. The problem is that mortgage lenders are required to use older versions of the credit scoring system because it's so regulated. But that tactic could help raise your score for other things, like if you are applying for a credit card or a car loan.
Well, actually, today, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac announced that they're going to be allowing renters to use their on-time payments to help qualify, and it's going to build into their new credit scoring model. So I think, actually, FICO, I think it's 7 and 8, which are the newer models, are now going to start to replace what's going on. So if you're making your rent on time and your landlord reports that rent in, which more and more landlords are starting to do, and you can ask your landlord if they report to the credit reporting bureaus, eventually what that is going to do is help filter things in and help raise your score as well. And there are also some places out there, Experian Boost is one, but there are other places that also feed in. You may have to pay a little bit for that privilege, but it will help you as well. Thank you so much for that question. It's a really good one. Do you think, you know, it's interesting, Ted, we heard today that in addition to announcing this program, we're also seeing the real estate market put on the brakes big time, and the purchase applications had dropped 22% from a year ago. And that suggests to me that interest rates and high prices, like you were saying, are really starting to cause some pain. What are you guys seeing over at Bankrate?
I agree. Yeah, I think that between higher interest rates, which are basically akin to a 22% increase in home prices, plus the actual increase in home prices, plus the low inventory, I mean, it's really kind of a triple whammy here. You know, sometimes they say with respect to gas prices that the cure for high prices is high prices, meaning that like people are going to change their behavior and drive less. And, you know, I have to wonder if the same thing is starting to happen in the housing market. Obviously, it's a more complicated, bigger ticket kind of item. But I do think that we're seeing more people rent for longer and delay that purchase. I think we're seeing more people stay put and renovate rather than trading up to that second or third home. And I have to think that it's because of all of these underlying factors.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. Of course, rents are going up as well. And people, like in New York, they said the median rent today for Manhattan, all of Manhattan, is almost $4,000 a month. Can you imagine?
Yeah, it really is crazy. And this is one of the aspects of inflation that has a bit of a lag to it, because normally your rent only resets once a year. So that's where, you know, inflation kind of started as quirky things. It was lumber and it was used cars. And I mean, now we know all too well that it's hitting us at the gas pump and at the grocery store. But I think rent is a big one because it's a large expense, and that's going to be some major sticker shock for a lot of people once that annual lease is up for renewal. And that's one that does lag in some cases because it's just once a year.
Yeah, no, it really does. Well, Ted, as always, you're a fountain of wisdom and so much insight. Thank you so much for being with us today on Your Money Matters.
Anytime. Thank you.